Welcome to Marketing Money Podcast. Roll it. We're back for another week of the Marketing Money Podcast at MarketingMoneyPodcast.com, and I brought a country bumpkin in here with me. He never found a microphone. He didn't know what it was.
Are you talking to this end?
He's shouting to the other.
You listen over here. Down here. I don't know what's how'd that sound? Did it sound like I got further away from it? Did it sound? Because I don't know what these ribs on the side of this thing do. I don't know. Sounds real good. Everybody asks me, what's the secret? Like, hey, your podcast's really good. Like, I want to do a podcast. I'm like, go buy like two $400 mics.
And record them and have somebody edit it and then put it on all the platforms.
Yep.
Not hard.
I really hate like the professional podcasts that sound like they're recording it on their iPhone, like by their pool. Like,
there's a lot of those out there.
Real bad.
But it's got to sound decent.
Yeah.
Put a little effort into it.
Yeah. We need that low pass filter.
Or they just,
whatever that does.
Or they just record on the memo on the phone and then they just upload it somewhere and go, there's my podcast.
Yeah. I hated when we're trying to do interviews and Zoom and all that stuff. I love the people, but like trying to make it sound good. And maybe it was our great friend and awesome colleague, Shelly Lofton. It was somebody that like the Zoom kept messing up. I get real frustrated.
Girl Banker and I did one time and it was Zoom's issue, not us.
I get, as you know, I'm pretty easygoing guy.
Yeah.
But, and you do get frustrated, like technical things, like I just want to hang up and just be done.
So this is the most sour, grapey sounding thing I'm going to say, but somewhere in the line of skills, talents, and abilities that God hands out when you're born, that you're going to eventually grow up into, Almighty looked at me and said, you're going to have tech troubles for the rest of your life. And I'm not tech idiot. Like I can, like if your parents, you know, when you go over your parents, they're saying, can you help me do my phone? Like I can do that stuff. It's just, if I'm going to present, something's wrong with the computer. Yeah. The PowerPoint doesn't work. The audio cracks up. Like something happens. And so I'm just, now I expect it. When I go to an event, I'm just like, it's going to happen.
And I think, you know, you and I have just done this so much that people like that old cold sweat, like up your spine feeling is gone now for me. Like when it happens, I'm just like, whatever.
Depends on the audience and where I am.
Yeah.
If I'm,
I could be talking to whatever. It does not affect me a bit.
Yeah. It still hits me.
But you know me, I got the lift.
And I've told you do. Like this guy, tornadoes make me want to get in a hole and cry in a fetal position. Tornadoes, Josh can stand outside like Captain Lieutenant Dan or whatever and on the boat and go,
I yell at God.
Yells out there,
my shrimp boat.
And yells out there while I'm hiding in the corner crying. And it's like, and it's like a sprinkle.
John gets, he turns into a crab. He starts doing this sideways. I think it's basketball training. Like he's trying to box at somebody. He's trying to box out the tornado.
I revert to my comfort zone.
He starts going basketball. When Johnny gets nervous, you're going to see a little side to side action.
Well, you know, you go to your childhood favorite memories. I love playing basketball as a kid and high school or so.
If you ever see Johnny moving side to side,
you know what's up.
Nerves are at
you know what's up.
Premium.
You know what's up.
The lateral. Close out on him. Set the pick.
It's hey, don't deny. Oh, you got me off track. Where were we going with all this fun stuff?
Something's going to go wrong in presentation.
Yeah, and so I've told you my dream scenario is at one of these events when you're keynoting, sounds so pretentious, but you're speaking and you walk up and someone just hands you the clicker and you just start speaking. I wouldn't either, but like there's a lot of people that do that.
But well,
because they've got people.
I think your 7 for 7, it was a lot like that, right? I mean,
that was probably one of the best ones I've ever been part of.
There was a green room.
It was financial brand and you had 7 minutes to present an idea. And so it was 7 different speakers. So it was really rapid. And I liked it because even if they were boring, which they really weren't, they were good speakers, they couldn't get boring because it was so fast. By the time you were like, oh, this is cool, they're off the stage.
Yeah.
And I literally, it was in Las Vegas and a couple thousand people there. And I come around the corner.
Those are entertainment venues. I mean,
great speaker system. Like you could see yourself. You had a confidence monitor. It was all great. But everyone backstage like had their own clicker waiting to go on for the presentation map. So you didn't have to like, put mine and change out the HDMI. Yeah. It was smooth.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is awesome because you just didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Well, they do it. Again, it's through repetition and knowing.
But I think of like the time our buddies at Strategy Corps took us to see Elton John with a big group and like something failed with the assistant like on stage and he throws a fit and goes crazy and you're
what that was though.
Was it the water?
Yeah. So between every Elton John song, Elton, he's got a champagne.
This is in Las Vegas at Financial Brand.
A champagne cooler, whatever that stand is. I'm not rich enough to know what the silvery stand that you put the champagne.
Like a carafe with legs.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever that is. But Elton doesn't drink anymore, I don't think. But he wants like fresh water, ice water between every song. But he also doesn't want the guy out on the stage to give him fresh ice water. So it's very exactly what you would expect.
Conundrum-ish.
Yeah. Someone, and I mean, how much ice is going to melt between like Crocodile Rock and Saturday Night, whatever that song is?
All Right for Fighting.
Yeah. Well, obviously the guy didn't.
Oh, it was hilarious.
Do his job. Elton John gets up and he's like 80, like high kicks the chalice thing over and starts yelling.
Calls the guy some names. Yeah.
This is the worst road crew ever, blah, blah, blah. And then just launches into another song. So I just stood up in the middle of like, I was the youngest person in the room. And I just stood up and said, rock and roll.
Yeah. We were definitely not in our demographic.
No.
But we were being entertained by a client. They wouldn't take us there.
But it was amazing.
So, yeah. And this is, again, Financial Brand in Vegas. Like it is what it is being there.
But it doesn't always go smoothly.
But a thing didn't work for him that wasn't. But like there's stuff that doesn't work when you're at the highest of the highest game of presenting to people.
I did a TEDx and I had to re-record part of it. So you have, it's very regimented, and this is no knock on the organizers. There was just they told me it was a technical issue with the main camera when I walked out, of course. Yeah. And so this was several years ago, weirdly, like right around my birthday. So it was kind of a neat thing, whatever ego or whatever wise. Family came in, everybody got done with their talk. And instead of being able to quite frankly, have everybody pat me on the back or what, you did a great job or whatever.
Like, let's do it again.
I literally had to go back out on stage without an audience and do my talk again.
Yeah.
I was like.
And your energy's not what it was. And you may present the ideas crisper, but your energy's not there. Like that kind of nervous entertainment energy.
So if you do watch it and you're like, that's most of it is the original.
Yeah.
Most of it is.
But the walkout isn't.
Yeah.
That's like last year at Graduate School for Banking at LSU. Big shout out to those guys because I love that school and teaching there. It happened the first day I get there and something had happened to my laptop with some update and it would not play my PowerPoint. And if you've taken any of my classes that happen to listen to this, I rely heavily on media. A lot more than most speakers do because I want to show real commercials. And it's funny.
You might call him a media ochre speaker.
Over speaker, if anything. But here's the deal. If you're going to teach marketing, I think you should show marketing.
Oh, and?
Marketing and you've done. You've actually been a part of.
It would be nice if you're teaching a class and you're the expert to show marketing that you did.
And
not,
I do.
Yes, this is not, but I cannot tell you how crazy it, look, certainly use examples to reinforce that everybody knows. Right?
I think one or two.
One or two.
You can get away with it.
But when your whole presentation
can't
cannot
be Nike.
It or can't, Coke or
Starbucks. It can't be the branding of Starbucks to
I'm
you.
I'm here to
you
watch.
You had nothing to do with it.
I'm here to watch your expertise.
And you had nothing to do with that.
Not you. So what have you done? That's just a little.
But I see it all the time.
Yeah.
And in fact, when I get some of the critiques back from my class, a lot of them is too much about Renaissance. You talk to, and I want to go, well, I'm giving you the strategy behind this brand and blah. And it doesn't faze me.
Yeah, there's always
because right. What do you want? And then they want me to do their brand. And I'm like, I'm not here to teach your brand. I didn't create it.
But, well, everybody, look, bankers, I love you, but drive me crazy. Not the marketer so much, but like I've talked about this, like this manifested recently. So I'll tell the story in a little bit different version. A bank the other day called me and looking for an employee. And said,
To hire someone.
To hire an employee, yes. Yeah. Do you know...
I thought you meant like they were lost.
No.
Josh, have you seen Billy?
No, to hire an employee.
He wasn't in Alco this morning.
Yeah. I was like, I think about it, but like, we really want someone who has worked at a bank, worked at the bank with our same asset size, hopefully who understands our markets and all that. I'm like, you're describing a former employee of your institution because there's no one else that meets that criteria. You don't want any risk.
Yeah.
Of course they want you to go take everybody's individual brand.
Or when they want to hire the individual who's an ad agency. We want someone who can do social media, video, editing, copywriting.
Salary, $25,000.
PR, budgeting, like 16 bullet points, 10 years of experience, and we're going to give you $25,000 in a gift certificate to Lone Star Steakhouse on Fridays.
And we work half day Fridays.
Yeah. And you can't be remote.
Yeah.
And
you have to travel to all of our footprint. Yeah. It's in 3 states.
But you can't be remote.
Yeah. That's kind of the way it works.
To get back that, the tech side was, I'm getting ready to present the first day. A couple hundred students are in this lecture hall. Good energy, because I'm like the 1 o'clock or 1:30.
Like the big rate,
like everyone's come back from lunch, they're in a good mood. I know you're generally a little tired from lunch, but they were a good mood. They're not hungry, so they're ready to sit down and absorb the wizardry of Johnny O.
That you bring.
And I'm about to bring the wizardry, and it won't work. The laptop is all jacked. It won't play audio. And then we turn it off. And what you mentioned earlier, that sweat kind of runs down your back. You kind of like, and here's the deal. If it had happened, so I teach 4 days. Day 2, 3, or 4, I wouldn't have minded it because they would have known me. I would have known them. Because I'm in there with them for 2 hours.
You're polished.
I'd have gotten it going on. But yeah, we're starting off on a bad start. And I'm like, and I always.
How long?
What's that?
How long?
What do you mean?
I mean, how long did this take? I mean, like, how long are we sitting here?
So the comedy is, I was there early. So I was there probably 20 minutes early.
Yeah.
Stuff's not happening. I call an IT person, a tech person. They send an intern in that I embarrassingly was, I wasn't mean to him, but he saw my frustration. And I felt bad. I apologized later that I kind of lost it. And I had to get everyone up.
By the way, Johnny loses. It's like, shoot, this is really frustrating.
This is terrible. I had to get everybody up because for some reason at this school, all the students come to class early. Maybe it's the after lunch thing, but they're in there like 30 minutes before. And I'm like, I can't prep. I want to run my sound without revealing what the video is. And like, I want to run through it, just clicking through. And like, everyone's in there just watching. I'm like, why? So I got everybody up, told them to leave the room. I had to have them leave because it was too stressful them watching me trying to troubleshoot this thing.
Yeah.
Come to find out, some update on the Mac threw off the ability to connect to their software, whatever. And
oh, you had to do the gift permission to share.
A bunch of stuff. And it ended up, I got around it by some dongle attachment that threw it through the HDMI back into the old school AV, whatever. And we did it. And class probably started 10 minutes late. It took about 30, 40 minutes because someone had to come across campus on a golf cart and help me troubleshoot it. As far as the class goes, it was great. And they laughed because I said, sorry, wouldn't get started. And then once it got going, but super frustrating.
Yeah.
And the timing couldn't have been worse. Like I've seen it happen with many speakers at these conferences. They get up, audio doesn't work. The clicker's the worst. The battery won't reach far enough the infrared or whatever.
That's why
it is.
I bring my own. I bought 20 of them, like seriously from Amazon and tested them.
So,
I remember I was in, so anyway, it doesn't matter.
No, it does matter.
Basically from a different room.
No, it does matter because here's the lesson of this podcast is what do you need to do to avoid unavoidable technical issues when you speak or when you present? Because some of this is like, as a marketer and you're presenting, you're bored. Like
that's what I was
going
to say. To executive management. Yeah. I think as marketers are viewed as much by that, like the quality of the PowerPoint, does it work well?
Absolutely.
As the content in it.
Because you're supposed to be seen as kind of a digital first employee.
I saw a meme the other day. I think it's really unfair for my generation that I had to help my parents with their printer and I have to help my children with their printer.
that's so good.
Because everybody thinks younger equal. My kids, I've talked about this, they know less, way less about technology than I do because it just works.
There. Yeah, it just worked. You never had to download, put anything in.
They think just holding the phone next to something, like letting the computer
charge?
Like makes it work. I mean, seriously, they know less, way less than like the Gen X because like I got a printer and if I wanted to print, I had to make it work.
Oh, yeah. No, believe me. You're tech for everybody.
Yeah. I would say the biggest thing is...
Because I have some fine points to go over. Yeah. But go ahead and hit yours.
Well, I mean, in general, it's just preparedness. I mean, the TEDx thing that I did, obviously very proud of getting to do it, you know? I mean, it was an honor, certainly, but almost ruined me from speaking again because before then, I almost preferred being an impromptu speaker. Almost preferred. Like, give me 5 points on branding. You've got 15 minutes.
If you're extroverted, not afraid to speak in public, and decently smart, I think impromptu is great for you.
Yeah. Well, and I would say a subject matter expert, for lack of a better word.
And something you're excited to talk about.
Yeah. And I love that. So I would, when I spoke at, spoke a lot at our civic kind of club, not Rotary, but we have a community development, economic development group.
Yeah, and they'd invite you to talk about small business marketing or something like that.
And, I would spend 15 minutes putting slides together, basically just big pictures, and then talk.
But that's what you should do.
Yeah. TED Talks put you through some rigors. And so it's 18 minutes strict, but YouTube, I don't know how many, it's the biggest thing I've done as far as audience, because they feed you out through their main thing, but man, they put you through the rigors on rehearsing. And now if a state association or somebody asked me to talk on something I know a lot about, it almost ruined me but I will tell you this, if you want it to go right, rehearse. And I would say it's built for the people who aren't as confident. And I saw through my cohort of people, because you're in there, you watch each other, it made them stratospherically better. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there is no...
To me, it's harder to give a memorized speech or attempted at almost like acting, like having lines, than it is just to get up and talk about stuff.
Oh, certainly.
But some people like it that way. Some people want to do that.
Once you get off and you had this thing that spurred the next thing, it's happened to me. I've seen it really bad happen to others who can't I forgot to...
Let me start all over again. That's the other one. Let me start all over. And then they go, just like, hey now, don't
you're
do
an
that.
All-star. Get your game on. Go play.
Really don't do that.
You just said, hey now, I got to jump in with it.
Don't do that. Some pointers I have.
Yeah. By the way, just so you understand, let me hype you up a little bit. Let me. John.
Oh, this is interesting.
Normally I'm trying to tear you down.
You do a good job.
But to build you back up. Okay. John isn't just a pontificator on a podcast. He is a university level public speaking teacher, professor, associate.
Lecturer.
So, I mean,
I've been known to hit the circuit.
Well, he's a speaker in his own right, but he has taught public speaking.
Correct.
At the college level.
And a few things.
So you need to listen to this. It may be the only time in 5 years John actually teaches you something.
Don't change your PowerPoint the day of the presentation.
Yes.
As a rule, have it done the night before and don't change your PowerPoint. Secondly, when rehearsing or practicing.
I want it done a week early.
Agree. Here's the other problem. I see it especially with bankers. They spend the whole time building the PowerPoint and not practicing the actual delivery of the presentation.
Run it.
And I guarantee you, my bank, I'll call them out right now, Renaissance, 90% of our executives do that. And they know it. So it's not like, John's picking me. They spend the time building the presentation. I got to have this number. I got to have this video. I got to have this number, this picture, this thing. And then they've never presented it. And so when they present, they look at the screen and talk. Yeah. So.
But even then for the timing, and I'll say this, and maybe this is going to be one of your points. What do we figure out? It's 50% longer when you present it with no audience.
It's longer because you don't have the nervous energy, and you don't have the energy going because you're just kind of talking.
No, I'm just saying if you do it in your for me, if I rehearse alone and it hits an hour, it's going to be 90 minutes public. That's mine.
I'm actually the other way. I tend to practice much slower. And then when I get on stage, I go into micro machine.
Well, then you need to know that.
Speed. Yeah. So know your presenting flaws. Mine is I'm too fast. I go quickly when I'm on stage. Practice the presentation and delivery as much time as you put into making the PowerPoint. Because people will make a PowerPoint. Well, I'm done with my presentation. No. You're done with the thing that's going to be behind you. You haven't even started your presentation yet. Yeah. So practice the presentation. I used to say if you want to be good, you need to practice 1 hour for every minute of your presentation. Someone said, well, that's impossible. Okay, you want to do a 20-minute presentation? You probably practiced 18 hours for that TED Talk.
Oh, at least.
With building it and the whole thing, and it was good. Yeah. And so that's my point is, do an hour for every minute of practice. And people, wow, where do you find the time? Do you want it to be good? I'm not talking about just walking into a meeting and having a discussion. I'm saying you're in front of an audience of 1,000 people, and you've got to present something that goes
across.
Or
an audience of 12 that controls everything about the bank.
And your career.
Yeah.
So hour for a minute. Don't change your – have your presentation done. I like a week before, but, you know, some life – a new idea comes up the day before. I really want this in there. Don't change it, because what will happen is, especially some of these places you speak, want the presentation before you get there.
Yeah. Well, the reason I say a week before is that hour for your, that builds in your hour for every minute. Like you can't, you got to have it pretty much done. Yeah.
Well, that's why.
To rehearse it.
These are what the good speakers do.
Yeah.
And the second part here is a lot of organizations, ABA and others, they want the presentation since they can load it on their app. You load it up and then you add something to it, well, then you got to go back and maybe it doesn't work, or it's a different.
I just don't resend it.
Year of the well, my rule is, for me, I show up to everything I speak with my own laptop.
Yeah.
Now it bit me at LSU. That story earlier, bit me on that, but that's because it had something to do with the connection. It wasn't me or them. It was the combo of both. But I tend to show up with my own presentation on my own laptop, ready to go, because you give it to them, they don't have the media saved on their own hard drive. It's something that just was sent over.
That's another good bit of advice, though, is like, hook it up to your TV at home. Like, if you've never hooked up to a projector.
I do it all the time in the hotel when I travel. I put the HDMI in, I watch it on the TV screen, and I go, okay, make sure you've fixed the audio inside to be on the presenter mode and not through the computer.
Yeah. Yeah, HDMI source and all that.
And it angers me that Apple hasn't done it where it doesn't automatically go over to it when you do it.
Well, it does when you don't want it to.
Bingo. So these are some things to think of. Another thing, if you're going to present, and we had to talk a lady running the presentations, like on the side, whatever, producing the event, don't go into like an email app and then open up like Zoom or something from inside the app, run it natively on the computer. I don't know if that makes sense, but like we have MS360 or whatever, the bank email. And if you open it up, it has its own little, I don't know, whatever, browser in or whatever. If you open and try to run the presentation inside of that, it's another layer of security that slows it down. It makes it jump. It doesn't connect well. So run it natively on the computer. I prefer Keynote to PowerPoint.
Yeah.
Always do, always have. Doesn't mean that one doesn't work better than the other one, but Keynote tends to, for me, has always worked better.
Well, I'll say this. PowerPoint, surprisingly, is way more powerful.
You like it better?
No, not at all. But it's way more, you can do a lot more with PowerPoint. Yeah. Like, especially like integrations with Excel and things like that. But Keynote, which, I mean, it's just, if you don't have an Apple, if you don't have an Apple computer, it doesn't matter. You can't run Keynote. But Keynote for Mac is 100 times, it's actually simpler.
Oh, I love it.
PowerPoint can do a lot more stuff that most people don't need to do. Or if you really want to get there and make some animations that were like animation, you can. A lot more bells and whistles, believe it or not, in PowerPoint.
Yeah. But I always find it interesting when
I wish there was a light version.
Yeah.
That operated more like Keynote. Because sometimes you do speak these things that require, like, you don't get to do your like one out of 50.
There's
for
a
me.
Lot that do that will say you have to, because they don't, they want to know
but
what
I would
you're
say
presenting.
Most of our audience, I would say probably 60% of our audience, 70%, doesn't have the option to do Keynote.
No, they just have PowerPoint on their computer, whatever. Some just takeaways. Don't change it up the day of and get it mixed up. I've seen many a presentation where like, oh, that slide was supposed to be in there, but it wasn't. And if I get to this one and they're clicking through and can't get there, yours was great. Bring your own clicker. Make sure it works, because they'll hand you one and it'll go to their laptop and you've had to email them the presentation and you emailed it in Keynote and it's supposed to be in PowerPoint or vice versa. And then the biggest one is they won't have the media that's on your hard drive of your computer.
Yeah.
That's a huge mistake, because they'll just pull up PowerPoint and they'll click through the first two and be like, these are great. And they'll get
to a video and
there's nothing there.
Just that, and you had this whole point about it.
And the video was like going to make your point.
Well, the other thing I say along that is when I'm speaking at a conference, or again, I think more people that we're talking to are going to be speaking at board presentations and things like that. Go in there at lunch or in the morning and run the dang thing.
Oh,
and if you don't do that, you're asking.
Here's the other deal.
And even then, it'll still break.
Put a picture or like a word on the screen. And then if you have handouts, give them the handout with like the deep details, but don't put Excel with 11-point font numbers on the screen and then sit there with a laser pointer and point and say, well, this, just put the one big number they need to know.
Yeah.
But then you can say, as you look at your packet and they can look through.
Or 10 key numbers, better than, so I'll tell you real quick.
Remember the rule, oldest person in the room, that's the font size you want?
Yeah. Well, the best rule that I saw, guy named Guy Kawasaki, who was—
Yep, I was there. We both saw him.
Brand ambassador to
Apple.
And Mercedes
Toyota.
Later.
Toyota. Did he go to Mercedes?
Yeah, anyway. But even before we saw him at Financial Brand, I'd followed his rules called the 10-20-30 rule. Yep,
love it. Love it.
And this was for getting capital, angel investor things.
Presenting ideas, basically.
No more than 10 slides or 10 ideas. He says 10 slides, but 10, like if you need two slides to make an idea come together, this or this, but 10, people can't walk away with more than 10 ideas in their head. No more than 20 minutes, which— if you got an hour, you know, that doesn't mean you need three times as many slides, but no more.
It was 10 slides for 20 minutes and 30-point font, right?
30-point font. Yeah. No smaller than 30
No smaller than 30. Yeah. And was it that, or was it oldest person in the room divide by two? Was that it? It's like if you have a 74-year-old,
I've heard that.
Two, yeah.
But still, like 30-point, like it just keeps you from putting a bunch of stuff on the screen. Again, that's a—
And you know, when we go to our senior management retreat, you know how many people follow the 10-20-30 rule?
Zero. One.
Yeah. You're talking to him.
Yeah. Which is, I get it when you've got to put the financials up there, but like if you can't read it all, like why? Anyway.
You can't read it. Just you give the financials to them on paper and then up on the screen you put the word financials.
Yeah.
Or you put the big number that I want everybody to know our net revenue for this year was $450 million.
Yeah.
And then you say, broken down in your packet, you can read through those, but here's what made this happen. Picture of a bank doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we did this, the deposits, you have a picture of a teller, like this is internal stuff, but the picture worth 1,000 words thing wasn't made up as a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got two advices that I give to everybody speaking. One's ground level, one is the advanced, the 202 level. And the first one goes with your don't change your presentation. No one knows what you're going to present before you present it. So don't tell people
unless
when you
they
screw
come
up.
Early in LSU and you run through your presentation before.
Don't tell people you messed up.
Oh, that so when I taught in school and they'd be like, "Oh, I messed up," I'd be like, "No one knew it."
Yeah, just
or the other one. I'm just so nervous. I tell students like, you go from A to a B if you say that. Like that's an automatic mark.
We've seen this at keynotes.
I don't know that you're nervous. I literally don't know.
I hate speaking so much to me. Like, why are you doing it?
Yeah.
Like, do not use up your time doing that. But don't let people know when you mess up and they won't judge you. Just move on. Losing your place, all that. But like, that's one of the things just in rehearsal. Like,
but you can say, hold on, I forgot my train of thought. Oh yeah.
You're human. That's natural.
Yeah. That's not, but to be like, let me start back over and say the same words again.
Just to get me back. Like I've got to rewind all the way. Yeah.
Done.
So my 202 level, I like this in a lot of different kind of presentations. I don't normally do this for like keynoting or whatever. But specifically for like board, executive management, all that stuff, I like to think of the questions that people are going to ask. And a lot of times I will purposefully leave out some information in my main talk. Okay? So once you've done all this other stuff we've told you, this is that graduate level thought. And I make slides after the thank you slide, after the end.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Let me show you my addendum or my appendix.
If you want to look like a bad...
Yeah. Mamma Jamma.
Yeah. Just as fine as she can be.
Mm-hmm. She brick house?
No, it's different. You just jumped.
No, you dropped the ball on me.
But anyway, so if you wanna look awesome, like clairvoyant, do that. Like and I don't mean like obviously, like why didn't you put the total spend in there or something like that? But like think of those deeper questions you're audience might ask you, and you say, "I'm glad you asked that," and you click over three slides. I mean, I'm telling you,
oh yeah,
you went from, if you did an A job or an A plus job, you went to like stratospheric levels. I've used that word twice, I think, today, of your team having confidence in you and your leadership or whomever you're presenting to having confidence in you. It's the biggest secret I can tell anybody. It's awesome because I tell people to do it and they don't. But here,
no, most people try to stuff 2 hours worth of presentation in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get to that. I didn't get to that, but just to have it. And then if they don't ask, you don't use it.
And you, nobody knew.
Yeah.
And if there's some really good bonus thing you wanted, do it like an encore if you really want to get it across. Like, all right, no more questions. All right, look, I got one quick point I want to make. And it's the thing that I just want to make sure, I want to be conscientious of everybody's time.
Bloop, bloop, click a button on the screen.
But since we got three more minutes, I want to share this number that was really impactful or whatever. And then it's just like an encore and everybody's happy.
You can even say the thing, you know, okay, we don't have a lot of questions. And maybe that's me, maybe that's you, I don't know, but I did have this one last point. And you throw it up there. But then if you have questions and they're interested, you don't ever get to it. Who cares? Yeah. No one knew. They're not going to be like, man, he made a good point. He missed that point on that slide. You're like, no, you don't.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing is there's this, I think we all have that situation, that embarrassing thing we did in eighth grade or 20 years ago or whatever time ago that you're trying to go to sleep and it pops in your mind and you're embarrassed. You get that cold sweat about it. I don't know if you have that or not. Just like something that like, oh, I can't believe I did that however many years ago. I heard a speaker talk about this that was, you're the only person that thinks about that. You thinking about that audience that was around you when you screwed up and, you know, you said, you pronounced a word wrong in front of everybody and all that. That's my other best advice to people speaking is you're sitting there. It's the most important thing to you that day. And four people spoke before you and four people speak after you.
And it doesn't make a hill of beans.
And nobody, I hate to be so nihilist about this, but nobody, at the end of the day, nobody cared. Nobody remembers it. The gaffes that you have to make for somebody to really remember it are so big and so profound that if you do the things we talked about,
either
there's almost 0% danger that you're going
to
do.
It has to be a horrible gaffe or I think you're more danger being not good than making a gaffe.
Because
I remember people, I was like, that wasn't a good, she wasn't good, he wasn't good.
Well, you know what you do with those people? You forget them.
Yeah.
And so.
Or no, you remember because of how bad they were.
I don't know that
I could tell. I'm not going to call him, but I could tell you a couple right now that you go, oh yeah, like you'd immediately know.
Yeah, but that's not what's in the forefront of my mind.
Yeah, it is mine because I'm a picker of nits.
But I will say that the ones I really remember, are not even the best ones. Like the ones that just like
I remember. George Will when he spoke in Tupelo was probably, but I was interested in what he was talking about. So you got those caveats. Was probably the best speaker I'd heard in a long time.
I remember the people that I think are going to do a bad job and do a great job.
Yeah.
But that's who I remember.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully there's some encouragement in that somewhere. Have the appearances of about to do a bad job, but then turn around and do a good job.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine.
Yeah. So, all right. Listen to what we said. If you need any points.
Rewind it. Listen to it again.
Maybe twice.
Get our views up, our listens up.
Yeah, because that's memorable. If you have any questions, marketingmoneypodcast.com, you can send us an email. There's a link on there.
Yep. Hey, you know what? Let's do this. I thought about this. I'll cover it if you don't want to.
What is it?
The best everybody put in your questions, and we'll pick out the best question every month. And whoever has the best question, we'll gift them a digital copy of No More Next Time.
I'll give them a hard copy of No More Next Time.
Oh, really?
Okay. OS paperbacks. No, let's not get technical. But a real, you can touch it tactical copy.
Best question.
Yeah. There you go. I had three people buy the book last week. The book was 2019, 2020.
Yeah.
Three people just bought it last week. I love when I get that email too that's like, your royalty has come through from Amazon. I'm like, great. How much is it? $12. Like, okay, cool.
Well, hey.
Better than no dollars.
Yeah.
All right. Everyone have a good day. We'll see you soon.
See ya.
Views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual participants and do not reflect the official policy or position of any financial institution or agency, Renasant Corporation, Renasant Bank and its affiliates, or the Mabus Agency. For more information, please visit marketingmoneypodcast.com.